Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Joe Ryan with the Southern Connecticut Hockey Report. And today we're proud to bring to you Jason Cotton, the captain of the Sacred Heart University hockey team. Jason transferred in 2 years ago and has been one of their top scorers and leaders on the team, and a team that is right now looking and poised to make a big jump this year in the Atlantic Hockey League, rated number 3 coming into this year. And looking for a lot of success. They've had some big wins over teams like Notre Dame and Yale over the past few years. This year they'll have the Connecticut Cup. And Jason looks to be one of their prime performers in a core group that's dialed in for success. We're going to dial up and see if Jason's available right now. Give us 1 second. We're dialing Jason. Like I said, Sacred Heart University last year, 16-18-4 record. They lost to RIT in a tough playoff in the Atlantic Hockey Association. They won the first game and then lost the next two. And it's something C.J. Mottola, the coach, has pointed to as one of the driving factors this year. I think we got Jason right now. Hold on 1 second. Jason.
Jason.
Hello, Jason. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. This is Joe Ryan, Southern Connecticut Hockey Report. Thank you for giving us a little time today. Just getting out of practice.
Yeah. We just finished. Got one more practice tomorrow, and then, showtime on Saturday as the year starts. So, pretty exciting time of the year, obviously.
Yeah, as I was saying in my introduction, this team last year lost a tough series at the end to RIT. You won the first two game, the first game, and then lost the next two. And your coach said that has been a driving factor. You guys felt, I don't want to say cheated, but you felt you really could have taken RIT, and it really left a pit in your stomach last year. Talk about that being a driving factor going into this year.
Yeah, the RIT, we have the first game we played, it was a 9-4 game. Maybe the second game was. Got success against, several years. We had success against them during the regular season as well, and we were playing really strong hockey down the stretch. So for us, things started to come together. We started playing well as a team, aggressive on the forecheck, tracking back well. Goaltending was a really strong part of our game. So, everything was just, it felt like everything was going into place, and it kind of cut short, and, we just felt like there was so much unfinished business. And, so for us to get a chance to bring a lot of people back this season and have a really strong, freshman class coming in, we're really optimistic, and, we have high expectations for us this season.
And, as you said, it's a strong core coming back. Talking to your coach, 10 of the top scorers of last year are back from this year, plus Your freshman goalie, who made a big statement for himself, winning 13 games and having, I think, a goals against average somewhere around 2.54. So the expectations are very high on this team. And I heard through your coach that in preseason rankings have you rated as high as third in the Atlantic Hockey Association. These expectations, good or something new? How's the team adjusting to the expectations?
Yeah, I mean, that's just talk at the end of the day. That, you know, it's just a list. You know, you see it every year. Teams that are 11th in the polls end up winning our league, or teams that are first in our league, you know, don't even, you know, get a first round bye. So it's really not necessarily the list, but like for us, it's kind of taking it one day at a time, you know, not focusing on the end goal, but focusing on the little details and the task at hand to get to the end goal. So, you know, for us, we got UConn on Sunday, and that's our focus. We can talk, you know, every day about winning championships and having high hopes and expectations, but, you know, we have to focus on the little details of practice and, you know, lifts, off-ice, you know, video, you know, every day, kind of like one trick at a time. And, you know, for us, that's the only way we're going to get to our ultimate goal, which is, you know, a championship. So it is exciting. You know, we rank pretty high, but, you know, we have higher hopes than third. You know, we want to win the league, and we're going to do anything we can to get there. So for us, it's, you know, taking it one day at a time and focus on the little details that lead up to the championship.
You know, of course, that's always true throughout hockey, whether you talk NHL, whether you talk youth hockey, it's one shift, one game, one period, everything. That's the way to approach it. But the one thing I noticed about NCAA hockey over the other major NCAA sports is it really is a wide-open field. When you look at football, there's maybe 5-10 teams that are really in the running for championships. Basketball, of course, is a little bit more open because of the NCAA tournament and the way it works. But major hockey, Division I hockey, it seems like it does lend itself where a team like Union a couple of years ago had a shot, where Yale and Quinnipiac were playing for the championship a couple of years ago. So a team like Sacred Heart, it's not crazy to think, maybe not this year, but down the line, you can really make a run at an NCAA title. This sport seems to lend itself to that. Do you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't realize, like, there's only 60 Division I teams, you know, in the entire country. And there's a lot of good hockey players, a good crop of talent that comes into the, you know, the NCAAs every year. You know, whatever league you're in, if you're in Hockey East, you know, Atlantic, NCHC, Big Ten, like, you know, every team can play on any given night. Any team can win. You know, like, got to the team, like, you know, last year, 2 years ago, you know, going to Notre Dame, and you know, they're a top five team in the country. Beat them, and then the next week you'll be playing against a modified team and lose. So it's like any given night you can win or lose. It depends, you know, what team shows up, what team really brings, you know, the best forward. And, you know, it's a short season. You know, it's not like junior hockey and the NHL where you get an 82 game schedule and you're playing 3 games a week. You know, you're playing 40 games a season. So every game counts. You know, every period, every shift, you know, it really matters, but it really makes a difference. And, you know, for us, you know, the national championship is always like the ultimate goal that we can't focus on. Now we just have to focus on, you know, how can we be the best team we can be, you know, give us the best chance of winning.
Another thing that's really different about college hockey, back-to-back games. And as your coach says, that makes it a really tricky thing to do, to beat a team on, I mean, to thread that needle and beat a team on back-to-back nights is something that it's rare, it's hard to do. So it really makes it tough to get on a winning streak. When you get a winning streak, really, you really earn it because you have to play teams back-to-back that have seen you play the night before, know how you play, can make their adjustments on the fly, and be ready for you the next day. Talk about that approach of having to travel, say, to a Niagara and play them back-to-back, or a Mercyhurst, playing them back-to-back on the road. How tough is that for a player?
Absolutely. I mean, you brought it up, like, you know, changing on the fly and making adjustments. I think that is the hardest part of, you know, being in college hockey is, you know, like other, you know, you get to the National Hockey League, you're playing, you know, you're playing different teams, three different teams a week, and NCAA, you're focusing on, you know, like Niagara. And you're Friday, Saturday, focusing on that all week. You know, you prepare for them all week, and be prepared, you know, Friday cadet, and, you know, it's just completely something different than you were expecting. You got to make changes and adjustments, and even when you have success, you know, the next night they're going to throw something different at you. So it's really, you know, you got to be good to be a team once, but you got to be great to be a team twice. And, you know, we've learned a lot. I mean, especially being, you know, the senior class, you know, the last 3 years, you know, we know how important these games are, and, you know, every game counts and every point matters, especially at the end of the season, and 2 points separate you, top three in the bottom three in the league. So, you know, making those adjustments on the fly, trying to have success over that, is a huge part of our winning streak.
Now, Coach was telling me last year the line of you, Austin Majera, and Jordan Kaplan really came together. Was it a line that was together all year, or did you guys get together in the middle of the year?
I'm on a line. The Cap Majera and John Stone are together.
Okay.
And then I play with Tugnut, and I'm starting the year with Gehring. We had success at the end of the year last year, but you know, I mean, whatever lines, you know, are together, I mean, lines change so much. You know, some weekends you might have different looks. One guy might be going that night, might get more opportunities. The lines change so much. We had four really good lines at the end of the year, and it's really clicking. It was probably around January when they started to set. We stuck with the lineup we had. Every line brought something. Table. Had really good top six. Third line was, you know, really good defensively, and they were really good off of top line of play. And generated goals for us. Our fourth line, you can put them out any time of the game. So if you have depth like that, it really helps the team win.
Yeah, how does a comfort level come together for a line playing together? Especially, you know, as you grow up, I mean, you start out in juniors and you probably play with a lot of friends that are on the same team, high school the same thing. But as you get into prep school and into the juniors and into college hockey, where it changes a lot, how does that come together, that chemistry of a line? Is it through practice? Is there the communication in between line shifts? Is it a combination of both? How does the chemistry of a line build? Can you put a finger on it?
Yeah, I think like you said, it's really a combination of multiple things. It's obviously having good open line of communication, you know, coaching each other through certain plays where you can learn off each other, but it's also kind of reacting off of one another. If you kind of have an idea, you know, and play what, you know, what your lineman's going to do, you can react off of that, you know, to create more success. And, you know, a lot of the time, too, you know, your line mates you play with, they're pretty similar style players to you. And, you know, if you're offensive-minded, usually, you know, your line mates are as well. And, you know, if you're aggressive on the forecheck, if you move your feet quick, you know, your line mates are there to support you and, you know, kind of create pressure down ice. So I think it's definitely a process. It doesn't come overnight, but it's something that, you know, if you find a really good chemistry and a gel, it can really, really have a huge impact on your season.
When you look at yourself as a player, if I ask you to describe yourself, what role do you play on it? What do you thrive in? Are you good on the penalty kill? Are you kind of a sniper? Are you a playmaker, a grinder? What, if you were to describe yourself, what type of hockey player would you describe yourself as?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I think, you know, I'm a 6'3" center who can skate, and I'm really good. I'm a 200-foot player. You know, last year I thought I was really good on the penalty kill, and that's something that I really added to my game to help me grow that other part. I've always felt throughout the years I've been good on the offensive side and the power play, and you know, creating plays. And that's something also to add on this season, you know, creating more offense. But, you know, I think, you know, since I've been at Sacred Heart, my defensive game has grown a lot, and I've really built a 200-foot style. And when you get to the next level, play and bring that same thing to the table. So you got to try and be the best player you can be.
You know, when I look at, as a hockey fan, someone from the outside, you know, the penalty kill is such an important part of a game, with special teams all overall, whether it be the power play or the penalty kill, a lot of time drives a team's success. One thing I've always found is, you know, when I watch a team that has a successful penalty kill, I always worry because they have this tendency to sometimes exhale on the next shift and suddenly give up a quick goal. Is that something you worry about out there? Is something it's just something that just naturally goes in within the flow of the game, and you can't even worry about that kind of a thing?
Yeah, I think it's just something natural. You know, adversity hits in all areas of the game, whatever time, whatever period, and you have to react off of that, and you have to, you know, you have to produce in any way you can, whether that's, you know, blocking a shot or getting the puck down 200 feet. And I think last year especially, we had a really good penalty kill. I think we're top 10 in the country, and that's something we want to grow. But, you know, for us, it's not necessarily, you know, getting a worry about getting goals against, but it's just like, all right, let's do the best we can, kill the puck, work, back to 5-5 play.
All right, starting out the year against UConn at Webster Bank, nice test to start, I would think. UConn maybe a little bit behind you on the building process, but they still had an all right year last year, but also an in-state rivalry type game. How big is the rivalry with the Huskies right now, or is it something that's building over time?
Yeah, I mean, we played UConn, I think, every year the last 4 or 5 years. So there's definitely, obviously, an in-state rivalry there. And, you know, especially this year now with Connecticut Ice, it's sort of like the new tournament of between, you know, us, UConn, Quinnipiac, and Yale, an in-state tournament. So who's the best team in Connecticut kind of thing. So there's always going to be that rivalry within the state. It's obviously a big game for us out of conference. The first one of the year. But it's something that has really, it's always been there, that rivalry. I remember freshman year when we played them, to now senior year. It's the game that we're always getting up for, and it's a meaningful program.
You know, when you talk about Connecticut. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there. When you talk about that Connecticut Ice Tournament, it's a big event. You know, a lot of times people don't understand, you know, you got Quinnipiac, you got Yale. Powers in the NCAA. You got you and UConn building ice hockey, college hockey in the state of Connecticut is available for hockey fans to come out and see. And this is a very important event. How about being a part of that initial event for you?
I think it's awesome, to be honest. It's something that we've, as players, wanted for so long because you rarely see such a small state like Connecticut. You have 4 Division I hockey teams, 4 out of 60 teams total. You know, you have states like Illinois, California, they don't even have Division I teams yet. So for our state to have 4 teams within 20-mile radius, you know, something is, we really wanted to, you know, to have, take place for a really long time. And I think it's going to be a really great event, especially the first one ever. You know, gets fans out and people supporting their teams. And I think it's going to be a lot of excitement around the entire event. But again, it's going to create big rivalries between 4 teams because they're, you know, basically a championship competition for this whole season.
And your background, coming out of Parker, Texas. Most people wouldn't think of Texas and ice hockey together. A lot of guys on your team, Florida, Georgia. How did you get the love of ice hockey down in Texas? Was it from while watching the Stars? What drew you to hockey?
Yeah, I mean, I think hockey has grown so much in these smaller areas that haven't really been known for being a hotbed. You know, you get the Michigans, the Illinois, the Mass that have big hockey draw, and, you know, in Texas,
I was born in 95 and the Stars won the Cup in 99. And for me to be around that winning culture and see how excited people were, you know, to see a team win a championship, especially Dallas, where basically people had no idea what hockey was when they first moved there. So for them to have success right away and to not only win the Stanley Cup, it just created rinks, you know, rinks blocked everywhere. There was, you know, more people wanted to play the game. Youth hockey teams started forming and, you know, more people wanted to play hockey. And that's kind of what happened with me. You know, started watching hockey, started watching the Stars, big playoff pushes, go to games. You know, just wanted to be a pro, wanted to do what these guys, you know, shown their fans. And I think you see that in different areas of the country, you know, Florida teams, Tampa Bay, and teams that have success, it just brings in more of a hockey crowd.
And your brother plays at BC right now?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so your family, I mean, Texas isn't as easy to get to and from, like, around here in the state of Connecticut, where you can get across the state of Connecticut in, like, an hour and a half. Texas is a huge area. What was the travel like for your parents with you and your brother growing up, having to get around the state to play in youth hockey? That had to be quite a logistical nightmare, as some weekends, huh?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I always remember just getting out of school and – my very first team I played for, it was in North Richmond Hills, Texas. And it was about an hour and a half, I want to say, away from my house. So I'd get out of school, and then I would just take a nap, and my parents would drive me all the way there every single day. And, you know, get there, practice, drive all the way home. And that was just an everyday thing. So the travel at the beginning was absolutely brutal. But you just... when you love something, it doesn't matter to you. You just want to play. You just want to skate. And, you know, obviously over time, more rinks have formed and you kind of get a better location. But the original rinks that formed, they were far away and you really had to sacrifice more, especially, you know, my parents. They've, you know, done so much for me and my brothers over the years with hockey.
Yeah, I've always said hockey parents are a special breed. The way they pack up the cars on weekends and just seem to go on the road and move around all the weekend long. So you can't give them anything but credit with the way they get behind the players and their sons and their daughters who play hockey. What's it been like for you growing up in Texas, living in the Northeast? I mean, you were in Youngstown, Ohio for a while, playing for the Phantoms in juniors, and now you're out Northeast. What's it been like? What do you like about the Northeast living here?
I think, the biggest thing in the Northeast is you kind of get a mixture of, you know, different teams. You have the Rangers, the Islanders, you have the Bruins. It's definitely, you get more of, it feels more like a sports town up here. You know, in Texas, it's big, you know, big on the Dallas Cowboys, obviously love football. But growing up with hockey, you know, you just want to watch as much hockey as you can. And when you live up here, you just get more exposure to it. And I think that's kind of been the one thing that I've loved so much about living up in the Northeast. Kind of, you just feel like you're in a hockey area. But things I don't like is the weather. I love the weather in Texas more, 100%. But, I mean, it's something you get used to. You know, I've lived in different places that have, you know, brutal winters and lots of snow, so you get used to it. But I think just the exposure to so many different NHL teams, and, you know, there's always a game on wherever you're going to a restaurant, or, you know, just turn on TV, there's always games on, and you just can't get enough of hockey.
Well, you got to admit, we have better pizza up here, though.
Yeah, Frank Pepe's is pretty good, not going to lie. You don't get that in Texas.
Now, did the coach tell me? Did I hear him right that you went to the Islanders camp or were with the Islanders in some phase this summer? Something with the Islanders?
Yeah. So I got invited to participate in their NHL development camp. So they invite, I think there are about 50 or 60 players there this year. You know, they invite their past draft picks, recent signings, some of their American League players, and then some college free agents. And it's just kind of, you know, it's a week long. It's, they call it a developmental camp because all they want to do is help you. They want you to get better, grow your game, and learn a lot. And, you know, for me going in there, obviously I wanted to show what I could do. I thought I had a really good camp. I thought I put forward and worked hard and made a lot of plays. You know, different drills, games. But it was a great experience just to, you know, kind of see, you know, what the NHL is preaching, you know. Kind of see it. How are they training? How do they care? Nutrition, you know, sleep, all that really factors in. If you want to be a pro, you have to do those things because guys in the NHL are. If you're not doing that, you're open to the chance of, you know, getting there and, you know, staying there. So for me, it was a really, really good experience just to kind of see, you know, what everyone else is doing. Compare yourself, see where you're at. Just to be, it's fun to listen to all the coaches, what they say, what they're teaching, philosophy. So for me, it was great to get there and to know what I could do, but also at the same time, it was a great experience just from a learning standpoint.
All right. Hey, Jason, I can't thank you enough for giving us the time today, and I'm looking forward to seeing you throughout the season. I'm really excited about Pioneer Hockey. I think, you know, you guys definitely are on the right track, and especially with the Connecticut Ice Tournament and all the good things that are going to be going on this year. I think it's going to be a special year for Sacred Heart Hockey, and I can't thank you enough for your time today. This is a Southern Connecticut Hockey Report. It's something I'm starting this year. I'm really excited about, and I'm looking forward to covering you guys and really bringing your stories to the public. I think really it's about time people around Connecticut started noticing the college hockey we have going on in the state and get behind it, because I think you guys have an exciting brand of hockey and a lot to offer to the hockey fans. So I thank you for your time today, and I hope to see you at the UConn game this weekend.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'll see you this weekend. Thank you again.
All right. Bye-bye. Yep. Right. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Jason Cotton, the captain of the Sacred Heart hockey team, a team that really is growing and should be making a name for itself this year, something we should look forward to in Fairfield County. You know, the history, the legacy of hockey in this area, when you talk about the Chris Drurys, when you talk about the players like that, Cam Atkinson, who's in the pros right now, Kevin Shattenkirk, hockey is a rich, rich legacy and history in this area, and the Pioneers are building something special this year. And if you've got time, Webster Bank Arena, great place to see hockey. Really a good reason to get out there if you're a hockey fan. I know the Rangers are close by, the Islanders are close by, the Devils are close by. That's very exciting hockey in the NHL. But college hockey, and like we talked about, and as Jason said, there's only 60 teams playing Division I hockey. So you never know. If you get to the tournament, magic carpet ride, you never know. It could be the Pioneers heading for the Frozen Four. But I thank you for tuning in. This is Joe Ryan with the Southern Connecticut Hockey Report. We will be back hopefully on Friday. We don't have a guest lined up as of yet, but hopefully we will get someone in and bring more of the flavor of Fairfield County hockey to you. So that's Joe Ryan, Southern Connecticut Hockey Report. Thank you for tuning in.